Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Angie and Jan, what a joyful story in the midst of all the doom and gloom in the world right now. Every good wish to the life-cruising couple, says Mary in Kildare. 51551, ray@rte.ie. Now, Mickey Bo and Me is 20 years old. It was one of those iconic movies back at the beginning of the century. And it starred Niall Wright. And Niall's all grown up now, 20 years on, as you would expect. And he's about to star in Gráinne in the Abbey Theatre. And he joins me now in studio. Good afternoon, Niall.
Hi, right.
So you were the Me in Mickey Bo and Me.
I was, that's right. Yes. Yeah. I was John Joe.
Yeah. So we'll get back to John Joe and Mickey Bo and Me later on. But Gráinne in the Abbey, and this is exciting because although the names, Gráinne, and the various people involved, W.B. Yeats and other people, are names we all know, this play has never been seen before.
No, never been produced. It was it's a Lady Gregory play that she wrote in 1912. She was one of the co-founders of the Abbey, along with Yeats, and the play was shelved for various reasons and complexities and different social reasons back then, and now the Abbey are getting to put it on, so it's an honour to be a part of its first production.
And it's a retelling of Gráinne and Diarmaid.
Yeah, exactly. It's a kind of personal story for Lady Gregory. It's about relationships. It's about love. The complexities of love and jealousy, and she's telling it through she's lifting the story through the eyes of the three kind of Irish mythical characters that are Fionn Macoul, Gráinne Nic Eart, and Diarmaid O'Divna. So, and we all kind of know that story of Gráinne and Diarmaid. It's a love story, but this one is probably the less PG version, right, okay. I'd say.
So it must be because a lot of the plays we see have been seen before, and you will know the story and you will have seen other actors play the parts. So it's exciting to be putting your stamp on it when nobody else has put their stamp on it.
Completely. I think that's the joy of it. And it's also the joy of knowing that we're going in each evening and the audience haven't seen this before. It adds a special kind of buzz to it. Do you know what I mean? They're hearing these words for the first time. Maybe they've read it, you know, and they've read that particular play, but they haven't seen it before. So there's a lovely kind of excitement around that.
So tonight, it's on tonight. Saturday was a preview, was it? Or
so we opened there on Friday.
Friday.
That was the kind of press night. We had like 5 previews just before that. So it's been full on. Like, we had about 5-6 weeks of rehearsals as well. And it's kind of a three-hander along with two other singers, vocalists as well. So a small company.
And have you got a routine yet?
No.
For your day? No, you don't ever...
Well, no, because we've been rehearsing flat out. So yesterday was a lovely day off. And then when the show's up and running, I'll get into some sort of routine of enjoying my day kind of off. But
because you have to, don't you? Because get up at a certain time, eat certain things, so that when you arrive on stage, that you know that you've done all the right stuff.
Completely, and you kind of become a bit like nocturnal as well. You know, when you want to be peaking in the evening and then coming off stage and that kind of adrenaline buzz as well. It's like, do you go for a wee settler or do you
what do you do?
Mickey D's or something? I don't know. What do you do? And then the heart rate has to settle.
It does.
And then you can sleep.
But you can't sleep immediately. That's not going to happen at all.
No.
So you have to do something.
Exactly.
Go for a run.
Exactly. Yeah. And go to the gym during the day. Yeah. Try and do that.
Or pick a nice, relaxed Netflix series or something like that you can binge on.
One of those crime docs or something. Yeah. Just to film.
That thing that I watched a bit of that over the weekend as well, that new rom-com thing. What's the name of it there? I'll get your name, because this I think you'd enjoy it. It's a rabbi and a girl who does a sex podcast, and it's
sounds right up my street.
It has an odd name. What's the name of there, Grace? No, we can't. Nobody can remember the name, but it's on Netflix anyway. You'll recognise Adam Brody stars in it. He's called Noah. That's well worth watching. Will and Harper, that's a good one as well. Documentary with Will Ferrell.
Oh yes. I love Will Ferrell.
He's such a lovely man.
Is he?
You expect that he is, but he's always been nice because he's promoting something. But here you see him with a friend.
Yeah.
And their relationship is a beautiful thing. And
he's a clever dude, isn't he?
My wife and my son said to me over the weekend, you know, he's not naturally funny. And okay. He admits to being not naturally funny. He's a comedy actor.
Yeah, yeah.
But
he
seems to be lovely.
Yeah.
So Mickey Bo, remind people about Mickey Bo and Me. It was set in Belfast in the 70s. Early 70s.
Yeah.
And you were from a Protestant, your character
was
from a Protestant background.
Yeah.
And then your friend was from a Catholic background.
Exactly, yeah. So set against the backdrop of, God, I haven't spoken about Mickey Bo and Me in a long time now.
But there was a screening recently, wasn't there?
Yeah, so I got to see it. Like, yeah. It was mad seeing it. The appreciation I had for it as an adult. You know, the last time I saw it was probably when I was like 14, 15. And you don't have the same appreciation that for the... Just everything, the music, the story, the writing, the directing, the actors that were in it, like Ciarán Hinds and Julie Walters and everybody, and Adrian Dunbar, the performances that they gave. Like I saw it through a different lens, through being in this business now for 20 years. It was nice to
come out. As an adult actor, you're saying, they're good.
Yeah, exactly. But no, the story is, it's set against the backdrop of the Troubles, but it's about these two young lads who form a friendship from different sides of the tracks. So
inspired by Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kids.
Exactly, yeah. So
Sundance Kid, I should say.
I weirdly have them to thank, I'll say that, because they actually had to, no joke, I found this out this year. Mark Huffman, one of the producers, said this, that he had to phone each of them to ask for their permission to use...
Paul Newman.
Yeah,
Paul Newman.
And Robert Redford, yeah.
Right.
And they both agreed.
Because there's a good chunk of it in the movie, isn't there?
Yeah. So that's my... Can I say that's my claim to fame now? Thank them for...
when you get the Oscar. I'd like to thank Robert Redford and Paul Newman.
It's a long story, but here.
The music will be played and be dragging you off. But you have to hear this. It's a good one. So what was it like then, being back, watching it 20 years on? And all the people involved, because they're like, as you mentioned, Adrian Dunbar, Ciarán Hinds, Julie Walter, amazing cast.
Amazing. Like, I mean, I was sat with Ciarán watching it, and even he said himself, he's still so impressed by it and proud of it, I think. It's really stood the test of time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it's a really well-told story, and we've had other stories come out about Belfast and other movies and stuff, but I think for me, if I'm being biased, this one is the most genuine and the most truthful.
And were you in stage school back then?
No. I went to like speech and drama. Right. Me and all my siblings went to speech and drama, and then I was kind of the one that kind of continued it on. But I did a lot of other kind of screen stuff as a kid.
Yeah.
Growing up, kept my hand in.
And then... What, a responsible adult said you better go and get yourself a degree?
Yeah, those two responsible adults told me to go and get a degree somewhere. So I went to UCD, and then I went from UCD, I went on to Bristol, Old Vic, and I went to the Old Vic over there, which was incredible, couple of years. And then from there, went to London. Yeah, so...
And did, you know, starring in Mickey Bo and Me, did that cement your desire to follow an acting career?
Yeah, I wouldn't say maybe cement, but I'd say it definitely gave me the bug, and it definitely started that off. I think then as you go through your teens and everything, there's various other things happen. I was a big kind of, I played a lot of sport and played a lot of soccer, ended up playing down here in UCD as well, and but I don't think that was ever a path that I was going to, it was more of a, you know, it was a passion, I loved doing it. But I think the acting had always been there. And I think when I graduated from UCD, I think my mum always said, if you still have that desire and that passion to do it, because I think acting, it's a, you know, nothing kind of...
Precarious.
And nothing happens overnight. And you need to have a real passion and understanding of it. And I think my university days and everything has really helped me with that and understanding it. And then going to learn the craft at Bristol Vic was something I really wanted to do.
And as well as learning the craft, you met your wife.
I did meet my wife, yeah. Yeah, that old cliche, meeting your wife at drama school.
Were you doing a read together or no?
Were you reading alongside each other? Well, the story...
Go on.
The story
You're
is...
You're not at the Oscar, so you have time.
Okay, great. The story is we actually did our recall day together. So in your recall day to get into the school, so the audition, there's five of us in a group, and we were both in the same group just by complete chance.
Right.
And the two of us got through from that day, and there's only 12 people in the year, or 14 people in the year. Yeah. So, so we met then, which was a couple months before, and then we both got in, and then we, yeah, the rest is history, as they say.
Right.
But still going well. So that's good. And we got married a couple of year and a half ago. So,
and a bit like Angie and Jan there, so you had something in common from the get-go, in that both of you were pursuing a career in acting.
Yeah, true.
Yes, so you had common ground.
We were
start.
Just talking about that bonkers story. It's like, we don't have a great track record up north with ships, do we?
No, I didn't mention that. Actually.
No, you wouldn't want to.
No, because
so it didn't end as we don't want it to end as tragically, do we? Lovely Jack and Rose situation there. You held your tongue well.
See, look, we're different. We are different. They have a different sense of humour up there. I've always said it.
Yeah.
You do have a different sense of humour. It's darker, isn't it?
Darker, yeah. So you have to.
You have to, of course. For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So, Grania, and don't be confused by the spelling of it, because the Latin spelling, G-R-A-N-I-A,
yeah,
is part of Dublin Theatre Festival, and it runs until October 26th. Abbeytheatre.ie, and if somebody says to you, no, I'm not going to that, I've seen it before, they're lying, because they haven't.
Exactly.
Yes, and it stars Niall Wright. Do you want to mention your co-stars, Niall?
Absolutely. Yeah. Lorcan Cranach, Ella Lily Highland, and Laura Sheeran and Sean Boylan, and our amazing, talented, clever director, Katrina McLaughlin, as well.
Well, good luck with it, and thanks so much for coming in, Niall. Thank you.
Lovely. Cheers. Thanks.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.